Amen. I hope you're redeemed today. Bought off the auction block, never to be put back on. That's what redeemed means. Bought off the block, never to be put on again. All right, we're going to work real hard here. I want to get finished today. I don't know. I got some good things here. I want us to see some things. But turn in your Bible, if you will, please, at Romans 1. We ended up there last week, and I want to I want to get the impact of the good stuff, so I want to make sure we're thinking about all this stuff as we're going along. I want to read a scripture, first of all, with you, but you look, go to Romans 1, chapter 1, verse number 16. Appreciate you being here. Romans 1, chapter 16. Matthew 15 tells us, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And then we're going to look here in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. What happens when the heart of man is left to itself? Romans 1, chapter 16 says this. Paul's writing, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Let me stop there and say, why are we so ashamed of the gospel of Christ? The world comes around and says, "Well, you can't talk about that here. You can't say, listen, we got a higher power we answer to. We also got a higher power who's in control. And so don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the answer that we're looking for. It really is the answer we're looking for. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So it's not just a Jew religion, it's the rest of us too. Verse 17, "For therein," in the gospel of Christ, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Verse 18, watch. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold to truth in unrighteousness." They think that the bad thing is the truth of God. What's not truth, they think is truth. What is truth, they don't want to think is truth. And my wife was telling me that one day she was out knocking on doors, and she knocked on a door, and this man came to the door. He says, "Well, hi, I'm from Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're inviting folks to come to church with us." And he says, "Are you a welcoming church?" Now, we know what he's leading there. She says, "Sure, we have great folks. They're always very welcome. Everybody's welcome. Of course, we do preach the Bible." "Well, then we won't be coming to your church." Now, think about that. She said, we do preach the truth. That's what she said. "We do preach the truth." "Well, then we won't be there. We won't be at your church." Well, that's kind of plain. Look what we're saying here. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." It manifests where? In the heavens. What we know of God, the fact is revealed. The heavens declare his glory. Of course, we're trying to negate all that with evolution. But the heavens declare his glory. And because the heavens declare his glory, we see who he is, the magnificence of his, the power of the Godhead. And it ought to make us feel small. It ought to make us feel humbled. It ought to give us a little bit of fear of who it is that we answer to. The wrath of God is revealed. We've got to realize we've got to answer to him. "For the invisible things of God, the creation, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made," verse 20, "even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination." I don't want to re-preach all this. I'm so tempted to from last week, but I hope this is bringing back to your mind. "And their foolish heart was darkened." They refused to let God be God. They refused to recognize or accept the fact that God is the God of the universe. And so we said, we're just pretend it didn't happen. We're just pretend he doesn't exist. And we call ourselves wise. We end up being foolish. And because we're trying to believe a lie, our darkened heart is going in another direction. And after a while, we don't even understand truth, society. I'm talking about society. Good point. We don't even understand truth. The truth sounds like a lie. Their heart's darkened. Jump down to verse 29. Verse 29, "being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness." That sounds like our society. "Full of envy." Look at this. "Murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. That basically means that they come up with a scheme to do evil things and figure out any mechanism they can do to make it happen. Disobedient to parents. You see, if we don't get our kids when they're kids, we're going to have a problem. And that's part of our problem. We didn't get them while they were kids. That's the first authority they need to understand. We don't whip them into place, but we do lead them into place. And if they need a little bit of warming of the bottom side sometimes, well, then that's what we need to do. See, that's not real popular either. You teach them, but sometimes that's about all they'll understand. Now, I'm not saying beat them black and blue, but I am saying you might get their attention. He says that they're without understanding, covenant breakers, verse 31, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I'll tell you what's amazing. It's exactly where our society is. And in fact, the wicked is so wicked that they all get together. Now, not that we don't have wickedness in us. That's just it. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. We have that in us. If you think you don't, you're lying to yourself. If you think your kids don't, you're lying to yourself. Well, they're good kids. Well, maybe. But there's sin down there deep. It's in there. And if it's not tended to, we're going to have a problem. He said, not only the Jews say, but they have pleasure in them that do it. Now, well, listen, let me pray, and we'll get started here. And this is kind of a part two to the answer to a violent society, part two. All right, here we go. Father, we thank you for your blessings, and thank you for speaking to our hearts the last few weeks. And Lord, I don't want to labor this and bore these folks to death, and I don't want to leave them down here in the bottom today. Lord, you've got the answer. Lord, give us the wisdom and help me to transfer these thoughts to them in a way that pleases you. And we ask in Christ's name, amen. My clock says it's only 20 after 10, so I got lots of time to go. Don't get scared. The church has been so busy playing games, trying to keep the kids entertained so they won't get into trouble, that we have failed to train and teach our kids right and justice. Many churches try to teach our folks, including young people, to worship God. But in fact, watch, when what God truly wants is for us to take him seriously and live like we take him seriously. Micah 6:6 says this, wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God. To do justly, do that which is right and fair for all involved. When we are not treated justly, to love mercy and walk humbly before our God. This is exactly what we are not doing. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We're not careful. We'll spend all our time worshiping God according to our likes. We're worried about being seeker sensitive. Listen, we're glad to have you all here. We want everybody to come in. But when it's all said and done, we're not going to do any good unless we're Savior sensitive. What's the Savior need? What's the Savior asking of us? That's really what, that's no fun. Listen, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end is the way of death. It might seem fun now. Yes, there's joy in sin for a season, but it will come back and it will bite you. And right now, we're starting to get bitten because we have not brought this to where it needs to be. There's no justice, there's very little mercy, and no humility before God. Somehow our society has come to believe that if you give your kids everything they want and everything you can, that they will love you and obey you. We have forgotten that the truth that the heart is foolish and wicked, and if you give a foolish heart everything at once, you simply supply the equipment and the tools for greater foolishness. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Proverbs 22:32 says, and the prosperity of a fool shall destroy them. You give them everything you want, you're going to ruin your kids. I'm not saying you got to live in poverty. I'm not saying that you got to say no to everything. I'm just saying we've got to be careful we don't give them everything. Because after a while, they think that everybody owes them everything. Now, the verse 22:15 says, foolishness abounds in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I've read in the paper here. Now, I don't really know all this, but I recognize the names here. This is came out in the newspaper today. Motley Crue rocker Tommy Lee is alleging that his 21-year-old son, Brandon Lee, knocked him unconscious in a domestic altercation. After TMZ published details of the fight in a Monday article claiming that Brandon had been acting in self-defense, Tommy responded on Twitter saying the story was incorrect and Brandon had been the aggressor. This is a father and son. Now in the newspaper here. Ready? Now listen. He, quote, my fiance and I were in bed with when my son busted into the room. Right there's a problem too. It all goes together. My fiance and I were in bed when my son busted into the room and assaulted me, he wrote. Quote, I asked him to leave the house and he knocked me unconscious. He ran away from the police. That's the truth. Now, quote, my heart is broken, he wrote. You can give your kids everything they could ever want in their entire lives and they can still turn against you. The prosperity of a fool shall destroy him. I'm just saying. Listen, if you reform and educate a criminal without a renewal and regeneration of the heart, all you have is a smart criminal. I know a fairly large church in this area. I don't want to hurt anybody. I know a fairly large church in this area who officially will not attest to the first few chapters of the Bible. This is an evangelical church, fairly large church. I personally spoke to the man that was the pastor of that church, who's a good man, who noticed that statement of faith that we have says that we believe in a literal six-day creation, that God rested on the seventh day. He told me, I remember, just like it was yesterday, he said, well, I'd never get away with that at our church. He said, I'd never get away with that at our church, putting in the doctrinal statement that God created the world in 6 days. God doesn't need more than 6 days. In fact, he doesn't need 6 days. If our churches cannot support the first few chapters of the Bible, how can we expect our society to have a fear of God? And if we have not fear of God, we cannot expect our society to live in the way that God requires. Proverbs 1:22 says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I've called, and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have said it naught, all my counsel, would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my proof. When they knew he was God, they refused to glorify him as God. That's what it's saying there. Psalm 36:1, the transgression of the wicked says within my heart that there's no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 22 goes on and says this, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Listen, whoso hearkeneth unto me, listen, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but everlasting life. We have failed to transfer truth to the last few generations. The world is out of control because the passions and lusts of men are not being controlled. Even those that did not go to church were not being raised in Christian homes, still had a certain fear of God until we took it out of public schools. Now, I know we've talked about this before, but I'm going to give you three quotes. Noah Webster said, "All the miseries and evils which men suffer, vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war, proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible." That's why we are where we are. Robert Winthrop, and again, I'm going to give you these quotes, and we're going to get into some new things here this morning. He said, "Men, in a word, must necessarily be controlled either by a power within them or by a power without them, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or by the bayonet." That's what it says. But the fact is, John Adams says, listen, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion." We could say, we'll just get out more of the SWAT teams. We'll just get more of the riot gear. We'll just get more. How much are we going to need? We're already outnumbered. And when more of the crowd decides that they're going to just throw God out and have no fear of God at all, what are we going to do? And Thomas Jefferson says, "Can the liberties of our nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of our people that these liberties are the gift of God and that they shall not be violated without his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." Now, we've learned in the last few weeks here, man is a sinner. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. Out of the heart comes the murders. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. We also learn that a sinner left to himself will sin. The work of the flesh, these are the works of the flesh manifest, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, all those things. Out of the heart, that's who we are. Now, we also learn that sinners that do not fear God do not obey God. Because the transgression of the wicked says, "With my eyes, there's no fear of God." Now, here we go. Here's the first thing we'll say. But there are many children committing these things. You notice that? It's almost as many children as adults. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." See, children are doing these things and they should be held responsible. Proverbs 30:11 says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." That's what happens when we start them young. You can say this about society in general, and I think we can say this about an individual when they raise up. Remember, all these things, these terrible things, it's talked about disobedient to parents. You see, if we don't deal with that, we're going to have a problem, because you're going to raise up a child who thinks the world owes them everything. And if you don't give me what I want, I'll take it. Look what it says here. In Proverbs 30, it says, "There's a generation," a social group, "a time in history, that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." Next stage, verse 12, Proverbs 30, 12. "There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from the filthiness." I don't need God. I'm fine just the way I am. In fact, you're the bad person for not accepting me. Now, I know I just sliced your tires and broke into your house and took everything you have, but you see, I've had a hard life. Well, your life is about to get harder. "There's a generation that curses father, there's a generation that pure in their own eyes." Verse 13, "There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up." I'm now, listen, not only do you owe me, I'm better than everybody else. Crazy stuff. All these reality shows, you know, going to win an award. Why? Because I want it most. I want it more than you. You should give it to me because I want it more than everybody else. What? I know it sounds stupid. That's what they say. I want it because I want it more. Verse 14 says, "There's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. That's the process. They start out where they just curse mom and dad to the point where they'll take anything they can get anytime they want. If they got to take somebody out to do it, they will. So what do we do to eventually reverse this? That's where we are. Now, I know the time's going to come when we're going to say, even so come, Lord Jesus is going to come. I understand that. But we don't know when that's going to be. But I do know what the Bible says. I know what we can do. And I know, listen, we can make a difference in our lives. I'm serious. I know I've said that all the time. We can make a difference in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in our church, in our town, in our township, in our county. We can make a difference if we'll do it. But we sit down on our backsides and do nothing but complain, then nothing's going to change. What do we do? Wait. We cannot wait for the government to become godly before we start. Government is not going to change until those electing governmental officials change. We get a reflection of who we are in the offices of our government. That's what we get. They got voted in. Well, I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for him either. So what we got to do? In love, go give the gospel. Bring them in. Make a difference. Bring more kids in and out of the city. We got to do something. Bring the kids in from the neighborhood here. I tell you, it's almost as bad in the neighborhood here as in the city. Maybe worse sometimes. So who put these folks into power? We did. And if society changes, government will change. Our main goal should not be to change government, but to change the hearts of the people. We should do what we can to change government the best we can in the meantime. Understand, but changing government is only a quick, temporary fix, and the results will only last until the change of power. I mean, Obama came in and he wrote all those things down, executive orders, and now Trump is in there. What's he doing? He's writing all these things, executive orders. You know, change the power. We're up, we're down. And you say, well, everything's fine because we got somebody kind of sees things our way. I mean, I'm not all that happy with some of the things he does. I like most of his policies, most of them. There's a lot of junk in there I don't particularly like. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we had somebody with integrity and morals it'd be a wonderful thing. Are the killings going to stop because we tell them to be nice? No, God told them that in the Ten Commandments thousands of years ago. How does it work with your kids? Just be nice. Listen, only a change of heart is going to hold back sin. The law is our schoolmaster to teach us that we cannot have a righteous society in our own power. Now, I do believe that we can get to the point where there becomes a general fear of God in our society, which will at least change the transgression, hold back the transgression with a fear of God without even being saved. But really, while we're doing it, wouldn't it be an awful nice thing if we go ahead and get them saved? Get them going home, get them going to heaven? Have a new creation in Christ? Do you realize that this is not discouraging unless you do not believe in the power of God? You see, this is, if you don't believe in the power of God, then this is discouraging. But God can still do it. This is actually encouraging because there is hope for us yet if we will take it. There may be folks in this room who will leave angry today because I'm saying that the only answer to our sin problem is salvation in the soul. But that's the answer to our sin problem. We can rebel all we want, but all we are going to get is something even worse than we already have. I don't need this. We'll be okay. We're going to have something less. But wait a minute. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And we have a broken land. That's kind of all introduction. Number one, we must become a new creation in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, flesh cannot overcome flesh. What we are looking at is a job for the Holy Spirit of God to make a difference. And by the way, this is the tough stuff, but sometimes I think even in our own hearts, even as Christians, there are things that we need to let God make us new over. There's some things there's some old practices, some old ways of thinking, some old things that we've been stuck in, some old and discouraging things that the old devil's been trying to teach us all our years, and we're stuck in, there's no hope, we're all going to die. We're so down, and we forget that God is still in control. That's for us too. That's for us. So we must become a new creation in Christ. Number two, we, the church, if my people, which are called by my name, listen, we must be saturated with the word of God until we fear God. It's hard to convey and transfer a fear of God when we don't fear God. Listen, you can do all you want to try to raise your kids, but you're not going to do it with a beer in your hand. I'm just telling you. You are not going to teach your kids the fear of God when you get extra change at McDonald's and you say, well, that was good. God gave that to me. No, he didn't. He gave you a test and you just failed. You're not going to transfer the fear of God when you come home and rake your wife over the coals and beat her till she's black and blue. You're not teaching them the fear of God. You're not teaching the fear of God when you said, well, when your daddy comes home, don't tell him that I bought so-and-so and so-and-so. You're not teaching your kids the fear of God. See, we need to be saturated with the fear of God. We need to be saturated with the word of God until we fear him. We need to abide in Christ, and his words need to abide in us. The fear of God changes our ways from the ways of a sinner to the ways of the righteous. God's ways bring godly blessings. Ungodly ways bring the wrath of God and destruction. I know I've quoted these verses so often, but I'm going to go a little further than I usually do. Psalm 1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Not listening to what the rest of the world is trying to tell us. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, getting in there and doing what they do. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Get to the point where you're saying, you know what, that Bible stuff is so stupid. And it really isn't realistic. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the rules of life. Tell me what you want me to do next, Lord. Tell me what you want me to do next. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's a fanatic on the word of God. He actually thinks the answers to what he needs is in the Bible. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And we walk around like this. Instead of taking the promise to stay in his book, live by the book, if we don't know what to do with him, keep thinking, keep studying. Study to show thyself approved, a workman needeth not to be ashamed. Look at the next verse 4. Verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so. That none of those promises apply to those who are doing their own thing. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We feel like we're dying on the vine, and we wonder why. We've thrown out the word of God. We've got to be saturated in the word of God. Number one, we've got to become a new creation in Christ. Number two, we've got to be saturated with the word of God. Number three, ready? We're going to change this. I hate to say it. God can change adults. We have the Reformers Anonymous. Get in there. You ought to do it. Come to, listen, I've seen adults change who go to this church, who've lived in certain ways all their lives, and they're getting saved, you know, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I've seen lives change at that point. But I tell you what we really need to do. We're going to change our society. We've got to train the kids. Train the children. Number three, train the children. We've got to bring up the next generation. That's what Satan has been doing for years. He's been training us. And he's held out what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, the carrot out there. It wasn't carrot because I don't like carrots. It must have been a donut. He's holding the donut out there, and couldn't have been a carrot. And we have been following around like a little puppy dog. Oh. But what do they say now? Well, what do they say now? And you know what they say? One thing, 1 year, 2 years later, that's all wrong, and here's what's right. You know, this word never changes. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but his word will not pass away. It's not going to change. It's not going to change at all. So what are we going to do? Listen, we got these young folks here. I love these young folks. Oh, my soul. It's so good to have some young folks. I know we got at least two babies coming up here in the next couple of weeks here, months, and that's a wonderful thing. But listen, we can make a difference. Listen, we can't grow our church any other way. We'll grow it that way. We'll raise our own. But we got to teach them right. Well, they go to church and they go to Sunday school and they're in the Christian schools. So everything will be fine. You need to teach them right. And mostly by the way you do it. I'm going to say something. I know folks have been able to do this, but I've heard a lot of folks who, you know, it sounds really nice. We were never able to have, I shouldn't say we weren't able. We've never really were able to make it work to have family devotions with our kids. Now, some people have been able to do that, and I don't know what it was. It just didn't work well for us. I did my devotions. She did her devotions. But the fact is they learned to do their devotions themselves and so forth, and they did. And they grew up, and they've learned the Bible. It just didn't work well for us. But the fact is, what's it say in Deuteronomy? Teach them your children. Talk about them when you get up in the morning, when you get down, along the way. I'll tell you, best learning is having them following you and see you live with integrity, live in a fear of God, live in righteousness, doing what God has called you to do, whether it's convenient, whether it's not convenient, whether it's hard, whether it's not hard, whether anybody else is doing it or not. You live by the word of God. And I'll tell you what happens. You come out the other side and they see it work. You see God's promise come to fruition. But if you're never willing to step out on that limb, you're never going to see it work. You're going to say, well, it never works. You never got out on the limb. If this is where he said to go, that's where you got to go. This is what you're going to do. This is what we got to do. We got to teach our children. If the law was in their hearts, we would not need the law to be enforced. Why do we need so much police? Why do we need metal detectors and policemen at every school? Listen to this. 1 Timothy 1:9 says this. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Listen to this. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manstealers. I remember reading that when I was a kid saying, you're getting a little overboard here. You don't have any of that kind of stuff. We do now. For liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel, blessed God, which was committed to my church. What's he saying? You know why we have to have all this law? Because the law's not in their heart. He'll write it on our heart if we get them saved, and they're willing to listen. We're going to change our society. We've got to start with our kids, our grandkids. We might need to go back to our grown kids and say, I did some things wrong. This is what we should have done. Now you do what your life is yours because it's your own will at this point. But I did some things wrong, and this is what I should have done. I'll tell you this. You say, well, they won't respect me. If your parent came back to you and said, you know what, I really messed up, and here's some things I did wrong. Would you respect them less or more? You think about it. Listen, we cannot enforce the law 24/7 in every place at all the times. But God can be in their hearts in all places, in all times. Proverbs 7:1 says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon the fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman." Listen, you get the word of God down in their hearts. And even when mom and dad isn't around, the word of God will show up through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's like having your sister on your date. You've got to have to behave. But it says, "Call wisdom my kinswoman." My sister. Can't get anything done around. You can't get into anything any fun. My sister's here. She'll go home and tell mom. You see what I'm saying? There's a way of living and fearing the consequences. But that's just a picture of really when it's directly to him. I can't do that. God knows exactly what I'm doing. We sin, the transgression of the wicked says in my heart, there's no fear of God before their eyes. And it even happens with Christians. So we need to train our children. If we're going to train our children, we'll give you one more, we're going to have to stop. Whew. Yeah, we're going to have to stop. We'll get to the back. There's some things that we're going to get. We'll do that in 2 weeks. All right. But there's our answers here. All right, there's our answers. Teach the word of God. Now, I alluded to this. It won't take too long, but it's a long scripture. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm almost done. Verse 1. But we're going to walk through this real quick. Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, verse 1. Familiar passage. I want you to read this. I've read it before. I want you to look at these things. And see, this is the answer. The reason it's the answer is because this is exactly what we have not been doing. That's why we are where we are. So the fix where we are is to go back and do what we were supposed to do in the first place. You see what I'm saying? Chapter 6, verse 1 of Deuteronomy. "These are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." What does it say? We've got to pass it on. Well, we got good kids. No, we have kids whose hearts deceitful above all and desperately wicked. We've got kids who out of their heart proceed fornication, adulteries, murders. Well, that's how so mean is dad. These purity, you know, these nice little things, these nice little kids, don't tell me. They're sinners. They lie to you. You toss them up and down, and then they laugh, and then they puke all over you. You know what I mean? They're just liars. They smile and do it. You ever notice that? They smile, and then they're all over you. They're liars. How do you fix that? You have to have the fear of God. How do we have the fear of God? By getting the word of God in our hearts. That is why I get so upset when folks don't go someplace to church and hear the word of God. Now, I realize that there's an awful lot of churches that don't even teach the word of God. They go in and they worship. They give you a couple little things, they pat you on the back and say, "Have a nice week," and they send you out the door. Church is not entertainment. Church is not always fun. A lot of times it's not fun. Church is learning the word of God. Study. A workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But the fact is, I know what is fun. Having kids that love you and obey you most of the time. You know how it is. Raise up, and then you watch them raise their kids, and you encourage them to raise their kids underneath the fear of God. He says, teach them. Teach your kid, your sons and your daughters, your sons' sons. Verse 3, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Listen to me and do it. Don't just listen. We must be doers of the word, not hearers only. That it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, verse 4, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's not this God and that God and this God and this God. Let's just put it all together. We'll just have a big smorgasbord, and we'll go along and eat what we want. Well, I'm going to stop at the dessert bar and at the ice cream bar, and then we're going to go over here, and I'm going to fill up and go home. No, we've got to stop at the broccoli pan and the green beans pan, the salad pan. You got to put more than salad dressing on your salad. I told the folks at the sweetheart bag, I had a salad the other day. I did. It was mostly croutons and tomatoes. Actually, it was one great big crouton. Tomatoes were kind of crushed, and we had some pepperoni and some cheese on top, and they heated it up. Okay, I had a pizza. But my wife says, she says, if I put lettuce, tomato, and onion, it's not a salad if I put it on a triple stacker bacon cheeseburger. And so, we want what we want. See, church isn't always what we want, but I tell you, I like the results it brings. That's why I'm in the ministry. That's exactly why I'm in the ministry. Because I've seen it work. I want you to have it. And it frustrates me because you say, well, I don't have time to go to hear this mess. I don't have time to go hear you hoot and holler. I don't have time to tell you, well, what I'm doing is wrong. Well, then how do we know what's right? We got this. This is what's right. Listen, it steps on my toes as much as steps on yours. It says, verse 4 there, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. He's talking to the parents here. In thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, when thou bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes to show you the direction. And thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and on the gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee the great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, which is where we were about two generations ago. We have it all. We're America. America. Pride of America. I'm grateful for America. I'm not proud of America. I know that's semantics. Listen, we didn't make America great. God made America great when Americans decided they were going to follow God. As the old French philosopher said who came over looking at America, he found out that America was great because America was good. And said, if America ever stops being good, it will stop being great. Because he said, I found the greatness of America. It was not in the industry. It was not in the determination of the manpower. But he said, I found it when I walked into a little church. And he said, when America was good, it's going to be great. If it stops being good, it's going to stop being great. He says, we got to teach it. He said, because we're going to, verse 12, beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, that thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. Don't follow what everybody else is doing in the world. Listen, we got here because we were down on our knees before God. That doesn't change. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thou God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt not do that which is right and good in the sight of the... I'm sorry. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thee. to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. Then we can walk away from the house, and if they don't happen to have the door locked, it doesn't matter, because everybody else is going to protect your house around you, not looking for you to go and find a good opportunity to go and steal your blind. Verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments of the Lord our God which hath commanded you? Why do we go to church, Daddy? Why do we get up and go and hear all that? Why do we go to Sunday school? Why do we go back on Wednesday night? Why do we go back on Sunday night? Why do we go back and hear these things? Why do you want me to go to vacation Bible school? Why is it? Why, Daddy? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. In other words, we were lost, we were bound, we were headed for destruction. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He saved us. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us into, give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Listen, we are bound in sin. God says, I'll release you. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good. Look at that. For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. It's still not too late. Now, we may not be able to change the whole world, but we can certainly change our little piece of it. God's given promises. Well, we can't play church. Well, that's your job, preacher. I'm only one person. In fact, is the greatest influence on your kids and your grandkids are you. You make the difference. We're going to support it. If you're with the Bible, we're behind you. But we got to stand for the Word of God. Got to stand for the Word of God. Listen, there is an answer to the mess that we have in this world. What are you going to do about it? Good message, Pastor. Now what? Now what? Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. These are good folks. I know they are. But Lord, sometimes we can get a little complacent. Sometimes we get a little bit discouraged. We kind of wonder what in the world we can do. Old Satan gets her looking at our inabilities. But Lord, that's okay, because it's not of us, it's of you. We just need to obey you. Do what you've called us to do. Heads are bowed and our eyes.